And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. The Greek word for victory is Nikia, where we get our word Nike. Nike means victory. So this is our Nike. You know, boys and girls all over the world put their Nikes on so they can run faster, jump higher, throw it farther, shoot it better. Right? But it doesn't really work. White man can't jump. But I tell you what, Jesus is our Nike. We put our Nike on every day. Do you have your Nikes on?
Yes, sir.
Amen. He hath made us always to triumph. We are more than conquerors. That is, uber conquerors. We are super men. Not when we live in our power, but when we live in His power.
Amen.
With men, this is not possible, but with God, all things are possible. When I was a little boy, I wanted a lunchbox. All the kids in school when I was little were getting these little lunchboxes, and they had superheroes on them. And the Spider-Man, the Incredible Hulk. But there was one lunchbox I wanted. Now I didn't grow up with a TV in my house, so I didn't watch TV when I was growing up. But there was a lunchbox I wanted. And I remember when I was a little boy, my mom took me to the store to buy my lunchbox. And as we were going to the store, we were walking down the aisle, and there's all the lunchboxes, the Lone Ranger, Incredible Hulk, Captain America. And then we got over there, my mom covered my eyes because it was Wonder Woman. She said, "You can't have that one." But then I saw the lunchbox I wanted, and it had on there that man with blue eyes and black hair, and he was coming off that lunchbox with a red cape. He was Superman. I wanted that lunchbox. I thought I was Superman. I would always put a towel on my neck and put a safety pin in it. I'd jump around the house like I was Superman. I thought Superman was great. And then when I was older, I went over to one of my friend's house, and he said, "Hey, do you want to watch Superman?" I said, "Yeah, I want to watch Superman." So we watched Superman. I was so disappointed. Superman had these big glasses, and his suit didn't fit very good. And he was very goofy. And he was always walking around. I thought, what's wrong with him? And nobody knew that he was Superman. They all thought he was Clark Kent. Right? But then, Lois Lane would get in trouble. Wouldn't she? And she'd, "Help, help." And then he'd run over and jump into a phone booth. Right? See, that's the problem. There are no more phone booths. It's very hard to change into a full body suit behind a cell phone. But see, what would happen is Clark Kent would go in that phone booth and he would take everything off that was of this world. And he would put everything on that was from another world. And then he would come out and he could run faster than a locomotive. He was able to leap tall buildings. Amen.
Amen.
See, and as long as Christians are going to live in this world and we try to fit in this world, we're misfits.
That's right.
No power. We don't belong here. But if we go into our closet and shut the door, our Father which seeth thee in secret will take off all the things that belong to this world, and He will clothe us in the unction and power of the Holy Spirit. and He will reward us openly. All flesh is grass, and the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as supermen. I mean as eagles. They shall run faster than a speeding locomotive. Be able to leap tall buildings. Listen to me. We can win the world to Christ. If we'll take off what belongs to this world and get along with God and come out with superpower. The power of God. Amen. Well, that's not what I'm preaching on, but that'd be good, wouldn't it? I want you to take your Bible and go to Genesis 37. We're going to talk about young people today. How many of you are teenagers? You're teenagers. All right, let me see all the teenagers, okay? Did you know what? All you teenagers. That ship sailed a long time ago. Yes. Oh, Batman. Everybody in America, I go to preach at youth conferences, and all the teenagers are Batman, Batman, Batman. Batman's just a rich white guy. He has no superpower. Somebody said, well, Batman's better than Superman. I said, well, you can say whatever you want, but let me ask you a question. Who would you rather hang out with, Boy Wonder or Lois Lane? I'm going with Lois Lane. Amen. I remember growing up, I got saved when I was just about five or six years old, right there at that time. And my birthday is in June, and usually every year we had a summer revival with an evangelist who came to our church, Dr. Daryl Dunn. And he came and preached in our church when I was a little boy. I went home that night. I was raised in a preacher's home. I had heard the gospel since I was little. My mama said that when she used to feed me and rock me when I was a little baby, she would tell me, "You're a sinner." And Jesus loves you. And she would tell me, she would quote me scriptures. And truly, I believe that from a child, I have known the Holy Scriptures that were able to make me wise into salvation. I went into my mom and daddy's bedroom as a little boy and said, "Daddy, I'm lost." And daddy got up and took the Bible and showed me how to get saved. Amen. And Jesus saved me. I can't tell you what I got for Christmas that year. I don't remember what I got for my birthday that year. But I remember the night that I got Jesus. And I remember the night that Jesus got me. Amen. And then I grew up in church. I went from the church nursery to first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade. Went in the youth department, into the teenage years. And went through all the teen camps, grew up in the teen. And I've seen so many teenagers in the United States who got on fire for the Lord, started living for God, and then drifted away and pulled by the world. How many of you would understand that the teenagers that are in this room, if we look at the world the way it is now, that these teenagers, especially in America, it's awakening for us, are going to face some very difficult days for the Lord. If Jesus tarries his coming, the persecution, the trials, the difficulties that young people are going to face, how many of you believe that teenagers are going to face some serious things in days to come? So how do we prepare teenagers? How can you and I prepare some teenagers in their youth to make a stand for Jesus Christ and to live their life so that at the very end of their life, everywhere you look at their life, you see Jesus? There was a teenager like that in the Bible. Did you know that? Look at Genesis 37 and look at verse number 2. Of course, Jacob was dwelling in Canaan, a stranger in that land. And these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being how old? How old? Any 17-year-olds in here today? 17-year-olds, all right, we got several 17 times, no, never mind. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. You know, I have a lot of young people that say to me, Pastor, I can't serve the Lord. I don't know that I can do anything for God. I come from a broken home. I've got, my daddy left me when I was little. My stepdad hates me. And we're finding more and more that the homes are falling apart. Marriages are falling apart. We've lost the battle at home. And now you have young people growing up in homes without dads, without moms, stepdads, stepmoms, stepbrothers, stepsisters. And the home's a mess. But think about Joseph. Joseph grew up in a home and his daddy had four wives. Not ex-wives, four wives at the same time. That man was crazy. It's hard living with one wife at one time. Amen? I sat there this morning when Brother Ezekiel Salazar was preaching and I said, thank the Lord my wife's not here. But she really needs this message. So, he had four wives at the same time. Not only did he have four wives at the same time, but he was a thief. He was a crook. He was a deceiver. Everywhere he went, he would do somebody wrong and then have to move. They were always on the run. He was running from his brother. He was running from his father-in-law. He had four wives. Joseph had brothers from other mothers. That's funny in the United States. It was a mess. Joseph's life, his life was a mess. His home life was a mess. And then on top of that, his brothers, the Bible said, had an evil report. Everywhere that his brothers went, they were doing exactly what their daddy had done. They were thieving and stealing and deceiving and lying. And in fact, remember when the two of the brothers went to the other town and they circumcised all the men and then on the third day went in and killed them all, slaughtered them? They were murderers. They were thieves. And Joseph was 17 years old. His daddy was a crook. His daddy was a thief. His daddy had four wives. His brothers were thieves and crooks and murderers. But Joseph had a good testimony. And Joseph was walking with the Lord. Look what the Bible says in verse number 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. That was a coat of royalty. And the Bible says in verse number 5, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said to them, hear I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. And he talks about the sheaf, and the other sheaves making obeisance and bowing before it. And then in verse number 9, he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren. Behold, I've dreamed a dream more. Behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. Now Joseph had a dream. Now let me ask you a question. Where did these two dreams come from? Who gave Joseph these dreams? God gave them. And these were not dreams about exalting Joseph. These were dreams that God said, Joseph, I'm going to use you. And I'm going to use you in your family. I'm going to use you with Jacob. I'm going to use you with your brothers and the 11. I'm going to use you with your family. And Joseph, 17 years old, understood that God had something for him. But then the Bible says in verse number 19 that his brothers saw him coming and they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Now come therefore and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. You young people, listen to me. Teenagers, listen to me. When God puts a burden in your heart and God reveals his will and puts a calling in your life and calls you to preach, calls you to be a missionary, calls you to full-time service, he wants your life to surrender your life, and you give it to the Lord and you begin to dream the dream that God has given you, you better mark it down. There are people in this world that will say, we will see what will become of their dreams. Satan will begin to fight your dreams. Satan will begin to tempt you and to draw you away, to destroy you. Joseph's own brothers began to tempt him, test him. They throw him in the pit. They bring him out of the pit by Reuben, says we ought to bring him out. They bring him out and they sell him into slavery. They made $9. And they gave him to the Midianites, and they took him down to Egypt. Now I want you to see something very carefully. Everybody watch this, all right? Just walk with me for just a minute, and we'll get into it. Look at the end of verse of chapter 37. Verse number 36. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto who? Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. Now flip over to chapter 39. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and who? To Potiphar. In chapter 37, Joseph is being sold into slavery. In chapter 39, Joseph is being sold into slavery. Well, what about chapter 38? Look back at chapter 38. If you're ever reading your Bible and you come across this, it's almost as though chapter 38 doesn't fit. Because chapter 38 says, and it came to pass at that time that Judah went down from his brethren and turned into a certain Adullamite whose name was Hira. And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shua, and he took her and went into her, and she conceived and bare a son and called his name Ur. It's a silly name. But here's what you find. I won't read the whole story. Let me just tell you what's in this chapter, okay? Judah sells his brother to Potiphar. Judah goes down with his friend into Canaan, down into the world, into the land of the Adullamites. There he sees a girl there. There he takes this girl. He goes into this girl. She conceives and has a son. That son grows up in Judah's home in the land of the Adullamites. And there, that boy becomes so wicked that God kills him. Now think about this for a minute. Think about it. His daddy, Judah, sold his own brother, Joseph, into slavery. And then tore his clothes and dipped him in blood and went home and told Jacob that a wild beast had killed Joseph, knowing that Joseph is in Egypt and that he was a slave. And if God did not kill Judah for that, what was Judah's son doing? He was in great wickedness. And then Judah had another boy, and he was wicked, and God killed him. Then Judah had another boy that was little, and he told the first wife of his first son, she said, this little boy's little. Are you going to wait for him to grow up so I marry him? And he said, no, you go home. And when he's grown, I'll find you. So she goes home. And then later, at the time of the sheep shearing, Judah goes to town, the sheep shearing. You know what the sheep shearing is, right? It's kind of like the old American cowboy movies. The cowboys are driving the cattle across the prairie. They're hot. They're sweaty. They're tired. And they finally come over the hill. And they bring the cattle into town. And they start making their money. And the cowboys go into the saloon. And they're drinking beer and shooting their guns. And they're gambling. That's what the sheep shearing is. They've been out in the mountains raising their sheep, and they bring them in, and they're making money, and it's a party, and everybody's drinking and partying and spending money. And Judah goes to the big party, and when he gets to the party, he sees a woman there who's a harlot. He goes into the harlot, and she conceives, and she has two sons, Perez and Zerah. They're not only his sons, but they're also his grandsons. Wicked, vile, serious sin. That chapter's in the Bible, and I wondered, why is that chapter in the Bible? Chapter 37, Joseph is going into Egypt. Chapter 39, Joseph is into Egypt. Chapter 38, it doesn't even fit. And then the Lord began to show me those first words. Look at it again. Chapter 1 of 38. And it came to pass at that time. Let me tell you what God did. This is the Old Testament Bible way of God putting up a split screen. On one screen, over there, we have the life of Joseph. And on the other screen, over there, we have the life of Judah. And we're going to watch Joseph and what he goes through. And we're going to watch Judah and what he goes through. Judah goes into sin, wickedness, filthiness, incest. Joseph goes to Egypt as a slave. But everybody look at Genesis 39. Look at Genesis 39. And read out loud with me in chapter 39, verse 2, up to the name Joseph. Ready? Everybody out loud together. Genesis 39, 2. We're just going to read the first phrase up to the name Joseph. Ready? And the Lord was with Joseph. And then look down, if you will. If you will, look down here in verse number 21. And read it with me up to the name Joseph. Ready? But the Lord was with Joseph. Look at verse number 23. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand. Read the next phrase out loud with me. Ready? Because the Lord was with him. Here you have Judah going into a wicked land, living in sin and filthiness of the world. But Joseph going into slavery and going into Egypt and going into that foreign land. But he went there and the Lord was with him. I want us tonight, this afternoon, to get a burden in our heart for our young people, that we'll raise up some young people that can go out into this world and they can face what they're going to have to face in this world, and it can be said of them, and the Lord was with them. And the Lord was with them. How do we get young people that can serve the Lord? How do we get young people to go face the world and have said of them, the Lord was with them? And what they put their hands to will prosper. How do we do that? Number one, this is in your notes. Number one, we have to help young people accept their God-given difference. Listen to me. Teenagers today, especially in America, I don't know about in many of your countries, but our culture, teenagers are afraid of a couple of things. They're afraid of being different. Now they'll tell you, oh, I just want to do my own thing. And then they turn their hat sideways and they sag their pants down. In America they do. And they all look the same. You go to the mall and they all look the same, and they're trying to all be different. They're afraid of being different. They're afraid of rejection. They're afraid to stand alone. They're afraid to be made fun of. They're afraid to stand out. Joseph was one who was different. He wore a different coat than his brothers wore. He had a different testimony than his brothers had. He stood out. He stood out in the world. He was different from his brothers. You listen to me, you Christian teenagers, you hear me right now. I grew up as a Christian teenager. I know what it's like to go to the mall and go out into the stores and go out into public, and I was dressed different and I talked different and I acted different and had different music. And many times people would ask you, what's wrong with you? How come you don't go to these parties? How come you don't listen to this kind of music? Why don't you have an earring? Why don't you drink this kind of drink? And why don't you smoke this? And why don't you go with girls? Why don't you kiss girls and hold hands? I'll tell you, I know what it's like to stand out and be different. But let me tell you something. We are different. We are twice born people living in a once born world. What we have came from a different source. Our life is taking a different course. They're going to hell. We're going to heaven. We're different. There in bondage of their sin. We've been set free at Calvary. We're washed and we're clean and we're righteous and holy. We're accepted. It's okay to be different. I'm different. Why do I want to fit into a world that's never been born again? Why do I want to fit into a world that's dead in their trespasses and sins? Why do I want to fit into a world that's blind? It's the blind leading the blind. Thank God I've been to Calvary. I've been set free. I can see. I'm walking in the light, not in the night. I'm born again. I'm different. You young ladies, be pure and be clean and be wholesome and be holy and live for God and keep your body and don't let those men, those young men, put their hands on you and defile you. You're different. You're precious. You're a treasure. You're holy. You're virtuous. A virtuous woman is hard to find. Keep yourself pure. Be different. Accept that you're different. It's okay. Don't be intimidated by the world. Don't be intimidated by the world. Look at the world with compassion. Look at the world with pity. They're the ones that are lost. He accepted his difference. Thank God I'm different. Thank God I'm different. I've been saved. My Father put a new coat on me, a coat of royalty. I wear the clothes of Jesus. I've been clothed in righteousness. I wear the armor of God. I stand as a champion and a soldier in this world. Accept your difference. That's what's wrong with many of our churches today. Many of our churches don't want to stand out. We want to fit in. We don't want to be called that church that preaches the Bible. Oh, that church, they're crazy. Yeah, we might be nuts, but we're screwed onto the right bolt. Amen. Amen. I might be a nut, but I'm screwed to the right bolt. I'm born again, and I'm on my way to heaven. It's okay to be different. Amen. Accept your God-given difference. Let me give you number two. We need to help young people. Accept their God-given dreams. We got to help them accept their God-given dreams. You see, Judah went down to Canaan. And Judah did what Judah wanted to do. Whatever he could think about, he did it. If he wanted a woman, he had her. If he wanted a drink, he drank it. If he wanted to eat, he ate it. If he wanted to smoke, he smoked it. If he wanted to enjoy it, he enjoyed it. He was doing whatever his mind could think up. Just like Solomon. Solomon had wisdom. He had knowledge. He had riches. He had pleasure. He had everything. Solomon had what every man wants. He had 1,000 wives. He had money more than anyone in all the world had. He had power. He had glory. He had a kingdom. But he came off of his throne. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, he looked at his face in the mirror. And he saw a man who had power and pleasure. And he had prestige. And he had all the things this world could offer. And he said, therefore, I hated life. He was dreaming his own dream. You young people, don't you dream your own dreams. Genesis, or Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse number 8, God said, you dream the dreams that I give you. Don't you dream your own dreams. When I was a boy, I grew up in a preacher's home and we lived in Colorado Springs, Colorado. In that city was the Air Force Academy. It's very unusual for one city to have 5 military bases. We had the Air Force Academy where the cadets were trained to be officers in the Air Force and fly fighter jets. We also had an Air Force base called Peterson Air Force Base. We had another Air Force base called Shriver Air Force Base, and it was in charge of all of our aerospace, launching satellites and launching things into space. We had an Army base called Fort Carson Army Base, and then we had another secret base built deep under a mountain, under a long tunnel, a secret base called North American Air Defense. It was called NORAD. NORAD was a place, one of the places where if America ever came into attack, they would fly the president there and they would protect him. When I was growing up, I began to talk with many men that were fighter pilots in the Air Force. And fighter pilots were, man, they were awesome. Fighter pilots, they were tall and handsome. And when they walked, they just walked different, you know. They had a strut. They walked like a duck that wasn't eaten when it was 16 days in the egg. He was saying, I made it. I made it. Somebody asked me, have you ever had balut? And I said, yes. They said, how old was it? 16 days? 18 days? I said, no. Mine was like 36 weeks. They said, what? I said, yeah, it hatched. It was running around. I caught it. I fried it. I ate it. All balut. Fighter pilots walk like that. When I was a teenage boy, I began to think, I'd like to fly a fighter jet. I'd like to sit in that seat, put that oxygen mask on. All the girls go, oh. I will sit there and I will tip my hat to them in full throttle. Dun, 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 like Superman. I began to dream that dream. Something began to change in my heart. I began to get cold to the Bible. I began to kind of sit towards the back of the church. I started noticing all the girls. I started dressing a little bit different. I wasn't praying. I didn't pray anymore. I didn't want to pray because I didn't want God to say, you're not dreaming my dream. But I remember when I went to a youth camp and God began to burn in my heart. And I said, God, all I can get if I was a fighter pilot is a thrill. All I would have to do is go to war, maybe. Retire. Get some money. Have a good retirement in this world. But if I dream your dream, I can go to war for a kingdom that will never end. I can fly higher and go further and do more with the power of God than I could in this world. And when I die, I get to go to glory and I get to be heard of my Savior. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'd rather have his dream. I want his dream. I want to do what God can do more with my life than I can do with my life. You young people, let God have your life. He'll take you where you could never take yourself. He'll do with you what you cannot do with yourself. He'll make you what you cannot make yourself. My God has a dream and a plan for you. You are not an accident. You are not a mistake. You're not just some kind of a mistake of nature, some evolutionary process. You are not springing from some amoeba out of the sea that grew a tail and became a monkey. Listen to me, evolution. Evolution says that we all started off as a little amoeba swimming around in the sea. We didn't know where we were going because we didn't have any eyes. So we needed an eye. So we just waited for 2 million years and we got an eye. And then we could see where we were going. But we weren't going anywhere because we didn't have any arms. And so we waited a couple million years and we got one arm. And then we just went in circles. And pretty soon we popped out another arm. And then we could go a little bit further. When we got over to the sea, we climbed up on the beach. But we were very cold. So we waited a couple of million years and we grew hair. We got a fur coat. But we were very hungry. And we was all we could do was look up in the trees and see the bananas. We scooted over to the tree and we tried to climb the tree. But we couldn't climb the tree. We didn't have any back feet. So we waited a couple million years and we grew some feet. And we climbed the tree. But we couldn't reach the bananas. They were too far out on the end. And every time we tried to reach for them, we would almost fall out of the tree. So we waited a couple of years and we got a tail. Then we could hang on to the tree and grab the bananas. Let me just say right there, if evolution was true, we would have never lost our tail. That would have been a wonderful mutation. Think about with that for just a minute. Ladies, you could be driving down the road with your hands on the steering wheel safely, watching where you're going. Nobody does that in the Philippines. I was praying, Lord, teach me to pray. So he sent me to Manila, and then I got in traffic, and I've been praying. There's only two types of drivers and two types of pedestrians in Manila, the quick and the dead. But think about it, ladies. You could have your hands on the steering wheel, driving down the road. Your little children could be misbehaving in the back seat, and you could say, kids, knock it off. Kids, knock it off. I said, stop. Kids, psh, psh, stop. How many of you men, your wife has ever asked you to carry stuff into the house? And I don't know why we men always have to get it in one trip. We have all the grocery bags. We put them all of our arms at one time. And we're walking to the house. And just before we get there, she closes the door. If you have a tail, no problem. You just open the door. Huh? How many of you ladies, you could be doing your makeup, fixing your eyes, and you could also have your brush, and you could have your tail and blow dry your hair? It'd be wonderful. Evolution's not true. If it was true, we would have a tail. Listen to me. You young people, you are not a mistake. You're not just part of an evolutionary process. There is a God in heaven who made you and breathed life in you and gave you a life and a purpose and a plan. God has a dream for you. Live God's dreams. Let me say lastly, and we'll close. We've got to get our young people to accept their differences. They're God-given different. We're different from the world. Accept our God-given dreams. And here's the hard part. We've got to accept our God-given difficulties. God never told us it was going to be easy. If you're going to serve God, He only promised you one thing. He promised you a cross. Joseph, if I'm going to raise you up, if I'm going to put your sheaf up and they're going to bow before you, if I put your star up and they bow before you, the only ones that I exalt are those who I've humbled. Humble yourself in the eyes of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Joseph, you've got to be rejected. You've got to be despised. You have to be forsaken. You have to be forgotten. You have to be tempted. Day by day by day by day, Potiphar's wife tempted Joseph to sin. She tempted him with lust. She tempted him with fornication. She tempted him every day, day by day by day by day. You young men, you're living in a world full of pornography and wickedness and vileness. And there's a world out there that will tempt you to sin and tempt you to sin day by day by day by day by day. I'm 42 years old, and every day there is temptation and there is lust and there is fornication. fornication, and there is adultery, and there is wickedness. You must do every day what Joseph did. You've got to run. You've got to run. You've got to run. Flee fornication. Flee youthful lust. Joseph had to learn to go through the difficulties. He had to be forsaken by his family, forsaken by his brothers, thrown into a prison, falsely accused. Some of the greatest Christians have been thrown into prisons, falsely accused. Jesus was falsely accused. Paul was falsely accused. I want to remind you of Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible said, and time would fail me to tell about Samson and Barak and Jephthah. The Bible says they subdued the mouth of lions. They turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Man, we start shouting right there, victory, victory, victory. But then he says, and others. And others endured cruel mockings and scourgings and sawn asunder. There's going to be some difficulties. We've got to learn to endure it. So many young people get bitter at God. Why would God let me go through this? God is letting you go through this so He can break you. And God wants to break you so He can make you. Let yourself be broken. You young people, listen to me. It's wonderful to serve the Lord. But there's a cross. And if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Joseph lived different. He followed God's dreams. He endured the difficulties. And in the end of Joseph's life, God raised him up. Let me tell you something carefully. Watch this and we're done. All of his family, his daddy, Reuben, Simeon, Naphtali, Judah, they were living in Canaan. Joseph on this screen, being faithful in temptation, faithful in rejection, faithful in adversity, faithful in the prison, faithful in the pit, faithful in the palace, faithful. God was with him. Judah, fornication, wickedness, sin, incest. He was wicked. And there came a day when that wicked generation, Reuben and Simeon and Naphtali and Judah and Jacob and all those who were defiling themselves in Canaan. Listen to me. These were Jacob's children. He was Isaac's child. He was Abraham's son. God had given a covenant that through Abraham all the world would be blessed. And now, it is the world that is destroying his children. It seemed as though the promise of God would be broken. But there came a day when Judah came before Joseph's throne and he fell before him with a broken and a contrite heart. And Judah began to weep. And he said, I am your brother Joseph. Be not afraid. God did send me before you to preserve life. God put me here so that I could salvage my family. I don't often weep when I read the genealogies. Often I weep because I have to read the genealogies. Every year I said, Lord, I'm going to read my Bible all the way through. And every year I get up to 1 Chronicles. And I say, Lord, will that do? One day I said to the Lord, I don't understand it. There's only 8 verses in the Bible that tell us where all the universe came from. Only 8 verses to tell us where everything came from. You only put 8 verses in the Bible to tell us about the sun and the moon and the stars. And then you filled the Bible with chapters and chapters and chapters of names. And the Lord said, because I'm a God who cares more about people than things. Aren't you glad that we have a God who puts names in His book? I don't know who those people were. When I read the names, I don't know who they are. I don't even know how to say their name. But God put it there. And God said, I know him. I know him. I know him. I know him. His name is in the book. I make it to heaven one of these days. And no one may know my name. They may not know who I am in this earth. But I'm going to get to heaven. And God will open his book. And he'll have my name. You may be serving in some lowly village. You may be out in the desert, in the mountains, in the jungle, and lost in a million faces in a city, and nobody knows you. Listen to me. God knows your name. I got to Matthew chapter 1. The book of the generations of Jesus Christ. The son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac. And Isaac begat Jacob. And Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Perez and Sarah. Joseph's name, we don't see it. But in that chapter is a wicked brother, a murdering brother, a fornicating brother, 2 little boys that were born in incest and sin. And now their names are in the genealogies of Jesus Christ. Why? Because there was one man, one place, at 17, who decided to walk with God and be different and dream God's dreams and endure the difficulties. And in Joseph's life, all you ever see is Jesus. That's all you ever see in his life. You young people, let the world see Jesus. Let the world see Jesus. Live for God. There's a world of fornicators and adulterers and dope addicts and prostitutes, and they need Jesus. Live for God, and you'll help them recover and be born again and repent and see Jesus. Amen. Let's grow our young people into young people who live for Jesus.